first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 49, not what it says up there, it says 45, starting at verse 41. So it's Isaiah chapter 49, starting at verse 1, and that's on page 735. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due to me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord.
Reading is taken from John chapter 1, starting at verse 29, and found on page 1064. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, what comes into your mind, I wonder, when you think of the word mission? Is anything coming into your mind now as you sit there and think of the word mission? We might think of phrases like, he was a man with a mission, or she was on a mission. Missionaries, we think, go and do things to other people. But when it comes to matters of faith, mission is what God does. For it is God who has a mission. He wants to restore all things as they were meant to be. Or as one author's put it, God is putting the world back to rights. Our job, the church's job, is to work with God to spread the good news. Mission is a matter of the soul. It's a matter of eternal destiny. It's about how we live as children of God, made in God's image. Well, both those readings we just heard had a message about being sent. Both Isaiah and John speak about the fact that they were being sent, and we too, as a church, are being sent out by God. Mission is being aware that we have been sent and that we know something about the one who sends us. Now, it could be argued that mission is about holiness before it's about action. Before we act, before we can proclaim anything, we need to open ourselves up to Jesus Christ and think about what he's done for us. He was the rejected one, the crucified one, the risen one. And from this place of gratitude, we can proclaim the good news. Now, the Anglican Church, good old Anglican Church, we've, across the globe, the Anglican Church has agreed on these five marks of mission to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach, baptize, and nurture new believers, to respond to human need by loving service, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind, and pursue peace and reconciliation, and to safeguard creation. Now, I guess you can, broadly speaking, then describe those five marks as evangelism, teaching, compassion, justice, and care for creation. But to make it even more simple for you to remember the five marks of mission, the five T's: tell, teach, tend, transform, and treasure. They are five ways to remember those important five marks of mission. So the first one, tell. So what is this good news? We are to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Well, many of us know the pain of separation. Separation from God, separation from others, separation from the person God wants us to be. But the good news is that loneliness, isolation, and guilt have been overcome. Death, sin, brokenness do not have the last word. Christ has broken the cycle. On the cross and in his resurrection, we have been set free, and our response is to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. And if we are to proclaim the good news, we need to be able to tell our own story of how Jesus is good news for us. But to do that, we need to mix with people, we need to be with people, we need to share with others. One author puts it, evangelism means inviting people into these stories and thereby authorizing people to give up, to abandon, and to renounce other stories that have shaped their lives in false or distorting ways. So our relationships are really important if we are to share the gospel. The same people with whom we share our doubts and questions will also be the people with whom we can share our hopes and our convictions. The people who like being in our company are the people who will be most open to hearing what makes us tick and what we hold most dear. So let us remember that mission, the mission of the church, is something we receive from Jesus, who sent us from God, who in turn sends us. So we saw earlier on Juan Carlos there playing spinning hoops with the young children in the village. That's how he is evangelizing to those young people. And as he plays with them, he will share something of the gospel with them. So to you then, who is it that you can share your story with? Who are those people that you come alongside and who you know well? Who are those people that you can speak to share your story and in so in turn share the gospel, that good news of what Jesus has done for you? So the next mark is to teach. To teach, baptize, and nurture new believers. So as we build up our relationships, we can invite others to join in God's kingdom. As a Christian community, we're often at odds with the culture around us, aren't we? We may be familiar with the expression, being in the world, but not of the world. But there's a danger with that expression that it could be taken to mean we're in this world, so be it. But what we really need to do is to make sure that we're not of it. But that's not really the intention. In John 17, Jesus, praying for his disciples, says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So here again is that idea of being sent out. But we are being sent out with a mission not to have nothing to do with the world, but rather to be part of the world. We may not be of this world, but we have been sent into it. As one writer puts it, we are a community neither of outsiders seeking to become insiders, nor of outsiders striving to remain outsiders, but rather of insiders who have diverted from their culture by being born again. It is a new creation, precisely within the proper space of the old. But it's not always easy to live as Christians in our culture. As a community of not just new believers, but also, for all of us, renewed believers, we need teaching so that we can understand and apply God's word to our situation. Our baptism liberates us for life in the community as we participate in God's mission. We nurture and care for one another so that we might be sustained in our mission and be positive examples to the world around us. When we bring people to baptism, they're given a new identity in Christ and introduced to a new way of living that embodies a very different set of values to the world around us. In Christ, we become new creatures, living no longer for ourselves, but for the glory of God. We baptize not in order to increase the number of people in the church, but that we can all participate with God in the transforming mission in the world. So Juan Carlos mentioned the fact that there are a number of young people in their church and they're seeking to minister to them and help them as they negotiate living their lives in their community, and how it's important for them to get together to talk about the issues that are facing them. So for you then, as we think about nurturing one another, teaching one another, what parts of your faith do you struggle with? Who could you go to get some advice? It's important that we all work with each other. Who is it that you can turn to answer your questions? Let's be honest with one another about the fact that we do struggle with some parts of our faith and we do need to nurture and care for one another. The third mark, tend to respond to human need by loving service. As a community, we're all teachers, teaching the world what it means to belong to God and to live as citizens in the kingdom of God. We do this by our words and also our actions. We show the world a different way of doing things, by offering our lives in selfless service rather than climbing over others in a scramble to get to the top. We exercise forgiveness and practice reconciliation rather than seeking to retaliate, dominate, or defeat. We also honour the dignity of every human being rather than giving in to hatred or prejudice. So what distinguishes loving service undertaken by Christians from the countless acts of loving service of those of other faiths and those of no faith? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus answers that question when he says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Jesus Christ, the light of the world, tells us that we are to reflect his divine light into the world in which we live. Christians, we are to be visible lights, not lights hidden under a basket. We're not to hang back and watch. when we encounter human need, we need to get involved. But any glory that we might gain through our actions is not ours, but it is to be reflected back towards God. The glory is all God's, and the reason we choose to serve God is in response to his great love for us. God is love. We believe that everything comes from God, so that by loving what he loved into being, we are aligning ourselves with that of our Creator. And our desire is to bring reconciliation. Reconciliation in our relationships, reconciliation in the communities where we live and where we work, where we go about our business. Being reconciled to one another involves recognizing a need to feel valued, respected, given dignity. And that in turn will restore value and trust and help us to move forward together, united in Christ. So again, Penny and Juan Carlos speak about this new initiative that they have for the elderly in their village, providing meals for them. Initially, it was aimed at those over 75, but they couldn't quite find enough people over 75, so they lowered the age limit. But there they are, serving their community, and the whole church is coming together in that operation. So for you then, in what way can you help other people? Where do you come into contact with others? What can you do in that to show that loving service to others around you? How can you reflect the glory back to God? The fourth mark is to transform the unjust structures of society. Injustice frustrates God's purpose. Justice is important. The Bible makes social justice an important expression of Christian discipleship. Social justice has its biblical roots in a God who time and time again shows his love and compassion for the weak, the vulnerable, the marginalized. From a scriptural point of view, justice means loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, and is rooted in the character and nature of God. As God is just and loving, so we are called to do justice and to live in love. As Christians, the building blocks of social justice lie in human dignity, human flourishing, and the sacredness of life. Social justice is about creating kingdom space here and now, giving witness to the ultimate just society that is yet to come. So every time we use our voice, every time we use our influence to get in the way of injustice, whether that be human trafficking, economic exploitation, human rights abuses, infants dying needlessly from starvation and disease, we will be providing a foretaste of God's kingdom to come. So again, as we heard Juan Carlos organise that lunch for local leaders and how important it is for the church to work with local leaders so that action can be put in place in the whole of the community, and why is it therefore important that we do cooperate with the local civic societies. So what makes you angry? What is it that really upsets you when you see things on the television? What have you noticed in our society that you really feel something should be done about? What can you do about it? Is there something that you can do, whether it's writing a letter, organising a petition, actually going along and volunteering? What is it that you can do to make a difference to any injustice that you see going on around this area or at a wider level? These are a few quotes that a certain Prime Minister made before she disappeared. If you're born poor, you will die on average 9 years earlier than others. If you're black, you're treated more harshly by the criminal justice system than if you're white. If you're white, working class boy, you're less likely than anyone else in Britain to go to university. If you're at state school, you're less likely to reach the top professions than if you're educated privately. If you're a woman, you'll earn less than a man. If you suffer from mental health problems, there's not enough help around. If you're young, you'll find it harder than ever before you can own your own home. Just some of the many issues facing our society. And lastly, treasure, to safeguard creation. And as we look back through history and listen to the news, we've always had the capacity, haven't we, to both appreciate and destroy our environment. We've not cared enough for our planet in so many different ways. Open cast mining, habitat destruction, species extinction, air and water pollution, dumping of chemicals, plastics, global warming. It goes on and on and on, doesn't it? God's world is a very fragile and vulnerable place. And Paul, writing to the church in Rome, points out that God himself is revealed in creation. As he writes, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been created, so that people are without excuse. Paul is clear that creation reflects not just God's glory, but his very nature. Our world and its environment is an expression of whom God is. We're reminded of Jesus when he spoke to the Pharisees and they told him to silence his disciples. "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." We are stewards of this world. We should care and support the world around us so that it can flourish, grow, and be sustained. A steward doesn't exploit or exhaust the resources in its care. We take responsibility to protect the present, but also have an eye to the future. If we want creation to sustain us, we need to care for creation. If we want creation to feed us, we need to steward creation appropriately. We are companions with God. We are interdependent and coexist with the world around us. And as companions, we're called to respect and love the creation. The mission of God is expressed in so many different ways. Peru itself is one of the most polluted countries in the world. You may not think that, but it has so many mineral sort of wealth there. There are so many factories, smelting plants, as they remove the metals from their ores. There's so much harmful waste. The children in Peru have got lots of heavy metals in their blood. Some of the cities are recorded as being the most polluted in the world. So much damage we do to our world. So, for you, it's difficult, isn't it, when we deal with these sorts of topics? It all seems so big, doesn't it? The problems are just so huge. Can my actions really make a difference? Can I really do anything about it? But maybe we just need to take little steps and just think about what we can do, whether it be through our conscientious recycling or using low-energy light bulbs or getting a green energy tariff, whatever it might be. But let's not think we can't do anything about it in various ways. Can we do something about it? So much of this journey of faith involves practical action. Many things that stand against the importance of being consumerism in our society. It requires a change of heart, not just a change of lifestyle. However, it is the radical change of heart through a relationship with Christ that will really make the difference. These marks of mission are not optional. They don't give us the option to choose which one we're going to adopt, which we can ignore. They and we are all part of God's mission. Amen.